This morning, I want to give us some encouragement.
Amen.
Because I think the times that we're in right now, we need a little bit of encouragement. Amen.
Amen.
Our country is going through a transition period. And during this transition period, things may seem a little shaky and a little chaotic. And not only is our country in a transition period, but this world is in a transition period and can appear to be a little shaky and chaotic. But what I want us to know this morning is that you belong to a kingdom that has an unshakable foundation.
Right.
Amen. You belong to the kingdom of God. And that's why it's so important that as I share this word with you this morning, that I want you to really take heed to the words that are being spoken today. And I want you to focus in on them, write them down if you have to. And then at the very end of the service today, if you have any questions, I please come and talk to me, okay? I don't want you to leave this sanctuary this afternoon without having clarity. Amen?
Amen.
And what I want to talk to us about is a priority for building God's house.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's so much chaos and so much uncertainty, one of the problems that we face, I believe one of the problems that we face today is that we have a loss of priority. See, we have, this country has devalued God to such an extent that his house lies desolate. See, God has been marginalized, and as a result, the church has been marginalized. You know you're talking to a carnal Christian when that Christian tells you or asking, why do I have to go to church? That question is carnal. That question is fleshly. Amen. Because that person is showing they have little knowledge of or appreciation for God.
Right.
See, both in the Old and New Testament, the gathering of God's people together was viewed as a primary expression of how serious the saints were about God. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You see, and not to gather with God's people was considered one of the most hideous insults that you can give to God. Even in the New Testament, Sister Takiya read it this morning in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That is not a suggestion.
Amen.
That is a command of God.
Yes.
Amen. And when we disobey the commands of God, then we become disobedient to God, and then we reap the repercussions or the consequences of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Some like you attend BSB. Bedside Baptist. They find no use for church. And this loss of priority was a problem for the ministry of the prophet Haggai, which we're going to look at today. There had been a loss of spiritual energy for the things of God, manifested by the devaluing of his house.
Yes.
Now, I want to clarify something here. The house of God represents something bigger than the building.
Amen.
Can I say that again? The house of God represents something bigger than the building.
Amen. Yeah.
See, the tabernacle and the temple was not just a structure. It was where the glory of God was.
Amen.
Amen.
It's where God hangs out and does his thing. So if you want to see what God does, go to the place where he's hanging out.
Amen.
See, it was where the ark was. And where the ark was the presence of God.
Amen.
Right? So we're not just talking about a building.
Amen.
See, because you can turn any building into a church. Mm-hmm. Amen. But it's what the building represented that was an insult to God. It was what the building represented that was an insult to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it represented that they were taking the building lightly. reflected that they were taking God lightly. Amen? Because that's where God was doing his things. So if you look at Haggai, and it's just a book or two before Malachi, Haggai chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Go to Malachi and then turn back two chapters. Are you there?
Amen.
Haggai chapter 1. He lists a complaint here. Verse number 2. Chapter 1, verse number 2. It says, "Thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come the time that the Lord's house should be built." What these people were saying was this: it's not time yet. I got my own stuff to do.
Yeah.
It's not time. Let's get to God's house later. I got other stuff to do. Come on.
Amen.
Mercy.
See, we'll get around to God's house at some point, but right now I got to take care of my stuff. It's just not time yet. But then God sends them, when God wants to give us a warning, he sends a prophet to do it. And he sends Haggai here to do it, to warn them. And to raise, and Haggai raises this interesting question in verse number 4. He says, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruin?" He says, somehow you can't get to God's house. Somehow you can't build God's house. Somehow you can't serve in God's house. Somehow you got to run from God's house. But if it's a time problem, how come you're getting around in your house?
Mercy.
He said, if it's a time problem, he says, then my house should be messed up and your house should be messed up. If it's a time problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have any time. But if you don't have any time, then he says, then how did you get out of that apartment that you're in? How did you get out of that apartment and move into that three-bedroom house, two-car garage if you didn't have any time?
Mercy.
How did you move from that 1,500-square-foot apartment to that 3,500-foot house? He said, if you got a time problem, how did you get those walls covered in paneling that just had paint on it? You got wood going across the top of it. If you got a time problem.
Mercy.
And what Haggai is really saying is this, and I'm going to be real with you today. He says, you don't have a time problem. He says, you have a value problem.
Amen.
You say, God, my house is more important than your house.
Mercy.
Can I say that again? We're saying, God, my house, the things that I got to do is more important than serving you.
Mercy.
I mean, let's just get real. We're not talking about building a shack here. These people were building paneled houses. See, these paneled houses back in those days represented royalty. So they were building, they had paneling going through the house with fine wood and stuff like that. See, and I mean, we're talking about houses that had modern stuff in them, like garbage disposals, dishwashers, and manicured lawns and things like that. We're talking about nice houses to live in. And then he says in verse number 4, he says, "But my temple lies in ruin. While you break your neck and find time for your house." It's not that you don't have a time. It's that my house does not matter.
Mercy.
God says, He says, here we have people who moved up, who used to wear black velvet, now they're wearing Sean John.
Okay.
Who used to drive around in a Volkswagen Rabbit, now they got a Range Rover.
Mm.
You know, you were shopping at Kmart, now you're shopping at Dillard's. K&G. Gentleman's Warehouse.
Yeah.
Come on.
He said, they raised their standard of living. They had bettered themselves. They were no longer alienated, segregated, or isolated.
Yeah.
He said, now they're in the game.
Yeah.
They were able to move on up from the hood to the gated community.
Yeah.
God said, I thought you had a time problem. Now, if the shoe don't fit, don't wear it. But if the shoe fits, dive into it and own it.
Yeah. Amen.
He says, there's one telltale way you know whether you're forsaking God's house. He said, in order to know that you're forsaking God's house, verse number 5 says, now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Yes.
He says, you haven't thought about something here. Watch this. Verse 6 explains. He says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink and get drunk, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm, and he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes in it.
Watch that.
He says, the way you know that you left God's house is that your work is not fruitful and not productive.
Amen.
And your material possessions does not satisfy. That's the way you know. Amen. The one thing that God brings, no matter what your status in life is satisfaction.
Yes.
Am I right about it? The one thing that God brings you, no matter what your status in life is satisfaction. See, He gives you the inner commitment to be stable, even though you're not where you want to be.
Yeah.
You picking up what I'm laying down?
Yeah.
But when you marginalize God, it doesn't matter how high you go, it'll never satisfy. Amen? And these people have marginalized God, and what they did was they put him off in the distance. They had neglected his house, and as a result, they were not satisfied, and they could never get enough. Amen? They thought, maybe if I could take a vacation. Maybe if I can remodel this part of the house. Maybe if I can buy this new car, I'll feel better. Maybe I will feel better about this marriage. Maybe I'll get along better with my kids. God says, you don't understand. That when you put my house off to the side and off to the distance, which represents me, he says, then you have a bigger problem that money can't buy.
Amen. That's right.
So let me tell you why money can't buy it. He says, because as soon as you get it, he says, I'm going to clip a hole in your pocket.
Amen.
Wow.
I got a raise. Just got promoted. Things are going to be better now. God says, oh yeah. As soon as you get it, your refrigerator breaks down.
Mercy.
The roof starts to leak. That thing that you didn't expect comes up. He says, because if you don't get around to satisfying him, he won't get around to satisfying you.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
Amen. And he'll make sure that by the time you get that raise, you'll have to ask for another raise to cover the deficit that you just lost. Amen. Because with God and only God comes satisfaction. Because accumulation doesn't satisfy. Only God satisfies.
Amen.
Only God satisfies. Can we say that? Only God satisfies. Can you say that with me? Only God satisfies.
Amen.
And he says, you cannot leave my house desolate. You cannot devalue me. Look at verse number 8. It says, go to the mountain and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified.
Mm.
Is that good?
Amen.
He says, go to the mountain. Get that fine wood.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back down here that I may be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you better get back around to making my house a priority.
Yes.
Watch this. And glorify me. See, the temple is my place of glory.
Yes.
The Bible says that when the people built God's temple, that the glory of the Lord fell in.
Mm.
I mean, the glory of the Lord just fell.
Mm.
And the people dropped to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In humble submission. And the power and the glory of God was so great that they couldn't even lift up their heads.
Mm.
The preacher couldn't even preach.
Mm.
When the glory came.
Mm.
And that's what we are collectively. Regardless of which building we're in. He says, because of you. Look at verse 10. He says, because of you, therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruits. He said, because of you, nature is not after man.
Mm. Wow.
God's people can control the behavior of nature. He said, because of you. See, many of us don't know it, but the sky is shut up to us in our prayer life. Because God knows we've neglected his house. We have no time for his glory. And we wonder why the sky doesn't open up for us. He said, because of Jesus, he says the sky is closed. There's no blessing coming down. There's no answered prayer coming down. The scripture Elder Jonathan read about this morning, he says, now it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, now it shall come to pass that if you will hearken diligently, if you will obey diligently the voice of the Lord God this day, he says, I will rain down blessings upon you so great that they will overtake you. But if you're not valuing God's house, he says, the sky is shut up to you. No blessings is falling down. Because he goes on to say, blessed will you be in the city. Blessed will you be in the field. Blessed will you come. Blessed will you go. Blessed to be above and not beneath. The head and the tail. He lays it all out, all the blessings out before you.
Yes.
But he said, because of you, the sky is shut up. There's no blessings coming down. In fact, God says it well at the end of verse number 9. He says, because of my house that is in ruin, while every one of you runs to do his own house. In the first part of verse number 9 says, you look for much, but indeed it came too little.
Mm.
And when you brought it home, watch this, he said, I blew it away.
Mm.
He said, I'll make sure it will never satisfy you. He says, if you can't satisfy me and you tell me you belong to me, then don't be surprised when you bring it home that I just go.
Amen. Mm.
And what you sow never gets harvest. It's a spiritual problem.
Mm.
And that's why, look at verse number 14, it says, watch this. Let's read this. Verse number 14. He says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God.
Yes.
Because it was a spirit issue.
Yes.
Right? And not until they changed their priority would God change their lack of satisfaction.
Yes.
And see, in fact, God, he was just waiting to do it. If you look at verse number, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 4, it says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am what? With you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear.
Yeah.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. Mm-hmm. Watch this. He says, "The silver is mine."
Right.
"The gold is mine." Yeah. Says the Lord of hosts. He says, "You folks are looking at the wrong bank." He said, "All these other banks, they're just mini banks." He says, "But I'm the major bank."
Yes.
"And if I close down," God says, "no other bank can help you." If his bank closed down, no other bank can help you.
Yeah.
He said, they can help you get in debt. I just won't help you get out.
Amen.
See, it's a priority issue. Am I right about it?
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, some of us, watch this, some of us sitting right here in this room,
mm-hmm.
watch this, right there, to see our lives transformed, mm-hmm. only have to reverse our priorities.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Some of us sitting right here, your health problem will turn around. Your financial problem will turn around. Your marriage problem will turn around. Your job situation will turn around. Right? If you just reverse your priorities.
Yes.
I thought I'd get more energy.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
This is good stuff.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. See, it's not about, listen, it's not about getting more money, because if God is against you, if God is against you, more money won't help you.
Yeah.
I mean, what good is having money if all you're going to do is put it in a bag full of holes?
Yeah.
Amen.
See, you can make less with God and have more to spend. Then you make more without God and still have less to spend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because God sews up your pocket.
Yeah.
But he'll also cut holes in your pocket if he's neglected.
Amen. That's good.
So, let's see how we can get this sewed up here.
Amen.
Let's turn over a couple of chapters back to Malachi. You say, "Pastor, you just driving this on home."
Pastor, you just drive this on.
I got to give you the whole conclusion of the matter. Amen. Amen. The scripture says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the information is not there.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. You guess that.
Yeah.
It's not that the information is not there.
Yeah.
It's that we're not taking the information we're getting and applying it.
Yes.
Malachi chapter 3, because Malachi was addressing this priority problem as well. And as always, God uses money as a gauge to check our spiritual temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the reason why is simple. Because it's usually the last thing that people commit to God.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So when Jesus walked on earth and he wanted to talk about spiritual temperature, He always used money because he knew if he got to that, if he got to your pocketbook, or if he got to your wallet, amen, then he really did get to you. Come on, don't get quiet with me now.
Amen.
Amen. So he raises the question, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Then he says, in tithes and offering. So if I can give us a little inflection here, it says, will a little bitty old man rob the king of the universe? Will a man rob God?
Yeah.
He said, you robbed me of tithes and offering. Verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Same principle in Haggai. They had neglected the house, and God said, hey, you robbed me. And the proof of that is your money. See, and it's not that you only robbed me of money, but you robbed me of commitment.
Come on.
You robbed me of time. You robbed me of involvement. But it's clearly demonstrated that you are a robber of God. Amen. You know what it means to rob God? You're pulling an armed robbery. And we know what an armed robbery is, right? You got a gun and you're going, what you actually doing? You're sticking God up. You're committing an armed robbery. And in some states, that's a life sentence.
Amen.
Mercy.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Some states you can go to jail for life for armed robbery. What a picture. You know, when you look at this verse in the original Hebrew language, it means in the front position. So he's not saying, for you are robbing me. What he's actually saying is, me, you're robbing.
Yeah.
And not get away with it, you know. Because this is what we're doing. If we go back to two chapters, chapter 1, and look at verse 8, this is what's happening here. He says, are you there, chapter 1, Malachi chapter 1, verse 8?
Nah.
He says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, they were giving him leftover sacrifices. Leftover commitment. Leftover money. Because it was what was left. It was what they didn't need. And they said, we can't use this blind lame for us. I can't use this blind lamb. Not in my house. Let's give it to God. We can't use this lame lamb. I ain't bringing that thing in my house. Let's give it to God. Let's give God what we can't use. We can't use this cancer-ridden lamb. So I'm going to give it to God.
Mercy.
It was a priority issue. And God says, Jesus, give that to your governor. Will he receive you favorably? See, because the reality is this. Tomorrow morning, most of us will give more conscientious service to our boss than we do to God.
Mercy.
We'll be much more conscientious about our time. Your boss says you need to be here at 9:45. You'll be there at 9:44. But let the pastor say, I need you here by 10 o'clock. You come strolling in here. Amen. principle, because Paul says it in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
Yes.
So the only question is given is, what do you want to get? Because that affects how many seeds you sow. See, no farmer starts out with, what am I going to sow? Right?
Yes.
He starts out with, what do I want to reap? Because what he wants to reap determines what he sows.
Okay.
He says, so you want to know you want to know why things, watch this. He says, you want to know why things are not going right?
Come on.
He says, because you haven't sown anything.
Amen.
You harvested, not planted. So nothing in the future is growing. And God calls it robbery. So the tithe is related to Christ, amen? And that's why the minimum God expects from his people is 10%. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
That's what we're obligated to do when you become a member of the church. You're obligated to at least the minimum of 10 of a tenth.
Yes.
10%. Okay? 10%. That's where the serious Christians start. You know, at 10%. See, under grace, our blessings are so much more. It was understood that you would go further than that. But that's where the serious Christians start. So you say, but you don't understand, Pastor. I'm in debt. That's what you're saying. And I'm saying, then you need help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. But how can I get help if I'm going to give and I'm in debt? Well, how are you going to get help if you're going to rob God?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's the question. Mm-hmm. Because only in reinvesting or reinvesting in the field do you get the crop.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. Then that was just the tithe. Okay. Can I talk to you about the offering?
Amen.
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 Amen. The offering went over and above what you were supposed to do. Right? Over and above your tithes. Voluntarily. Right? It's what you wanted to give over and above what you had to give.
Mm-hmm.
To say to God, this is what you're saying to God. This is how valuable you are to me.
Yes.
The offering says, you know, I don't want to be just limited to the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're saying you deserve so much more, Lord. Just think about what God has done for you.
Mm.
All the things that he's brought me through.
Mm.
You're saying to him, Lord, I value you so much. I want to go over and above that. You've given me so much. And God says, you robbed me, and you're paying a cultural price for it. He says, bring, verse number 10, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be resources in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He says, bring all your tithes, not part of it, not half of it. He says, don't rob me. See, you ever have some people bring you some of the money?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You said, I did all the job. I don't want some of the money. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Amen. And we said last time that the storehouse were chambers in the temple where the grain will be placed in the storehouse. Amen. And you say, I know you're saying, right now you're saying, how are you asking me to bring my tithes and offering and I'm in debt? Right? So this is what I want to share with you today. And you can write this down. And if I was you, I would write this down. We're in the process of building this building. Right? And this building is going to cost in around $160,000, right, to be put up. I need you to get my phone so I can look at those numbers. It's in my bag with it. So it's around $160,000 is some of the estimates that we've been getting. And that's just with the erection of the building. You know, and I can explain that to you after service, what that all that entails. But that's just the erection of the building. We're talking about a 90 feet wide by 90 feet long metal fabricated building. So, I'm asking you, if you are not a tither, I'm asking you to do at least that. 10%. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Right? At least bring your tithes. Okay? Wait a minute now. But wait, there's more. You press so many buttons that you can mess me up here. Oh, here we go. Okay. So, if you're not a tither, right, I'm asking you to at least do that. Bring your 10% on a regular basis, okay? Now, I know, I want you to look at it like this. If you are a rookie investor going to Wall Street, and you begin to invest in Wall Street, and you're a rookie investor, and then you start to see some fluctuation in Dow Jones, the money going up and down. You start to see a little bit of fluctuation going up, right? If you're a rookie investor, chances are you're going to pull your money out. You're going to stop. You're going to say, I can't deal with this fluctuation. So you only do it maybe a month, maybe two, and then you pull your money out. But I'm asking you to go beyond that. I'm asking you to do something with your tithes, and that's what Malachi chapter 3 you just read. It says, God says, trust me in this. Trust it. If there's ever one thing that you can be certain of, God says in Malachi chapter 3, he says, when you bring your tithes to the storehouse, he says, and try me if it says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive. I'm asking you to trust God. You tried everything else. I'm asking you to trust
him. Amen.
The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
And lean not into your own understanding, your own human wisdom. Don't go over there. But trust God that he will do what he said that he can do, which is open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive.
Amen.
Trust God in this area. Because, see, it's the act of obedience. When all of us get on one accord in this church.
Amen.
When we all get on one accord in this one act of simple obedience and bringing our tithes into the storehouse, God will open up the windows of heaven and everyone in here will be blessed. Come on, come on.
Amen. Amen.
He said he will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing you won't be room enough to receive. But we got to trust him. In other words, I'm asking you to take God at his word. That's what faith is. So I'm asking you to exercise your faith. And then on top of that, watch this. I'm asking you to do this. Start tithing. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I'm asking every person, every working person, to over and above your tithes, to commit to bringing $100 a month.
Amen.
I don't think, and I know I can hear what somebody said, where's that money coming from? Trust God.
Mm.
Trust God. Pastor, you don't know. I'm in debt right now. Trust God. It don't make sense to me, Pastor. I'm not asking. He said, lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in all your ways acknowledge me, and then I will do what? Direct your path. You said, wow, you know, how can I give God anything when I can't even pay my bills? Doesn't God expect me to take care of my own debt first? Well, at first glance, that seems like a reasonable response. But it's not God's response. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man.
Amen.
That's not God's response. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He insists that if we don't give, then we're robbing him.
Mm.
He says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mine. See, and God promises that all of his promises have been tried and proven. And this includes the promise of, you know, regarding our tithes and offering. See, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, mm-hmm. the Lord tells us. And then he goes on to add, he says, trust me in this thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what he's doing is he's inviting us to try him, to prove his wisdom, to test his truth. And that's a bold challenge. Now, if God is telling you and I to trust him in this, don't you think he can do it?
Amen.
If he's saying, Sissy, I want you to trust me in this matter. And with this knowledge that this is the only time in the Bible that God says to try me.
Yeah.
So this is the only time in the Bible that this is trying. And the matter of this is asking, what do you think? See, I mean, that's a bold challenge. And will we take it up? And if we do, he promises that he will open up the windows for us.
Nice.
See, the challenge involves a tithe. A tenth. Amen? And God, what he's doing is giving to God is his supernatural way of priming the pump.
Mm.
It's his supernatural way of priming the pump for divine supply.
That's good.
You say, well, how do we initiate that? Well, we initiate it by faith. We're going to act like what God says is true. That's what faith is.
Amen.
And without faith,
right,
it's impossible to please God.
Mm.
So I'm asking us to get outside your comfort zone.
I know what you're
thinking, but don't lean over there. Amen. Because listen, this building will go up. They said it'll probably take 10 to 15 days for this building to be up. So when we get ready to, when we say, okay, yeah, we decided we're good to go here, we need to count the cost.
Amen.
The money needs to be there so that we can just go, here it is right now, just put it on up, and we're done. And then here's the good part. I didn't share this good part with you. This is a good part. When we move in there, we won't owe anybody anything. Not a dime. We can get in there and start doing the work that we were called to do.
Amen.
God says, make me a priority.
Amen.
Make my house a priority. He says, you're taking care of your house, but my house lies in ruins.
Amen.
So I'm asking you, and I'll let you in a little secret what's coming. The next series that's coming up next week, starting next week, is God-type faith. Because that's what it's going to take.
Amen.
To get where we need to go. It's going to take God-type faith.
Amen.
To do it. Have faith in God.
Amen.
That's what I'm asking us to do.
Amen.
Let's get outside of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And let's be the church.
Amen.
Because that's what... That's what we're. That's how the church is going to fly.
Amen.
We got to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to be the church. And I know that sometimes in congregations, that there's always a group who don't want to be the church. But I'm declaring and decreeing that kind of mentality is not in the church. So you know that the Bible says that if a man decrees a thing, so shall it be. So I'm coming against that spirit right now.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. That we have everybody in here is 100% tithers and over and above givers.
Amen.
And we're going to be a testimony of the church that sits on top of the hill that's lit up and the light can't go out.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm asking you, saints, let's all of us get in the game.
Amen.
Let's not rob God. Let's make his house a priority.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.